Anytime that Sean C is in the studio on a Sunday morning, which is probably the first time in 3 years since I've been on Sunday morning radio that he's even here. He's a busy man. Monday through Friday, got Saturdays, all that. But, Sean, did you want to get on? Did you want to say hi? If you don't, that's fine. It's good to have you here. And it's good to have you here on the Angelo Carriero Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5 FM, streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com. I want to say that you probably heard enough of my voice over this last week, probably to be sick of it. After we have covered the District 43 tournament, we'll have the Region 11 here coming up this week, and I'll talk a little more about that in a second. But yes, I'm leading off the show with high school basketball because we are in the playoffs here in Lexington, Kentucky, and I want to jump right into the District 43 all-tournament team because it is the one district in the state that is all Lexington. Now, District 42 is pretty close, but then they sprinkled in Scott County, so I couldn't in conscious mind do that. Even though we did get an all-Lexington final, Henry Clay and Frederick Douglass, District 42. So Henry Clay, Frederick Douglass, both in the Region 11, which is really a big surprise, at least for those around locally. I would say the Henry Clay program, not saying that those kids didn't, you know, deserve it before the season to be thought of in that type of air, but I talked to Coach Daniel Brown before the season, and he genuinely thought that this would be kind of a rebuilding year of sorts, in just a sense that when you lose Marquez Warwick, who just, you know, no big deal, went on to be the Horizon League Freshman of the Year and made first team Horizon League. And then Marquise Mackey, who went off to Berea to play college basketball. You're losing two pretty stamped out type of players, and they were able to bring it together to make the region. Now, they will go on the road in their game to play, and Frederick Douglass will have a home game, as will Paul Lawrence Dunbar. And yes, in the District 43 championship game, everybody knows about Lexington Catholic. Lexington Catholic, of all the teams this year, looks the most, I would say, poised to go on and win the Region 11 and possibly go on to win the state in the Sweet 16 this year. Lexington Catholic has who is going to be the Kentucky Mr. Basketball, a guy that we've had on the program for many years now, on varsity game night, Ben Johnson, who, I mean, he's just a standout. I don't know how else to put it into words of finding a guy that looks so unassuming before he gets on the court, and then after he leaves the court, a guy that you think is an absolute killer in Ben Johnson. He will be Mr. Basketball. He'll be the first Mr. Basketball in Lexington since Tavion Hollingsworth. And I believe, if my research is correct from what I said on varsity game night the other night, I think him and Tavion are the only two Lexington Mr. Basketball since, I believe, 1984, which is pretty shocking to me. But they finished second, because Paul Lawrence Dunbar defeated Lexington Catholic on Friday night, a game that Varsity Game Night had on a delayed broadcast. So if you were up Sunday morning around 2 a.m., then you got to enjoy the spoils of such a game. And it was a game that Lexington Catholic led for a while, but, you know, it's a Joker to a Batman or a Kryptonite to a Superman that Dunbar just... There's something about the length defense, the creativity. That's one thing about Lexington Catholic, Lexington Christian, too, that's always kind of, I won't say bother me because it works, but they are a bit homogenous in the sense that a lot of their players do the same things. It seems like that they are such a team that almost it seems like individuality isn't a part of it. And I just say that in the sense of when you watch them, they kind of spread the ball out, they pass a lot, and they shoot threes often, or they go to the rack, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it brings great success. But Dunbar is so unique in the sense of the players that they have. The players all do different things, and they all can complement and contrast each other. It's much like those Scott County teams of a couple of years ago with Michael Moreno kind of leading that way, where you had Diablo Stewart and Cooper Robb and Lorenzo Williams, and you had Barber down low. And they all had their own specific kind of skill sets that made it work. And by the way, Michael Moreno and Cooper Robb, if you all watched EKU this year, those two boys from Scott County doing work. That EKU team, I really would have liked to see them make the tournament because I think they have the talent, and especially in the coming years, they have the talent to really make it work. And I'll be honest with you all, I really enjoy watching the non-Kentucky and Louisville schools here locally. Not as much Morehead. For some reason, Morehead doesn't really pull in the state talent like EKU, like WKU, and like NKU. Those three schools really do bring in the guys that we have on varsity game night from week to week. And I really like to see those guys play. It's just something, you know, you get to interview the kids, you get to watch the kids, you get to see how they are, and then they get into the college basketball scene, and they dominate from, you know, from program to program. It's I think it's pretty awesome. But, like I said, Lexington Catholic, by the way, with number one team in the state, they are, what is it? I believe they are 15-2 after the tournament. It's just funny because those two losses are both to Dunbar, and that's it. That's the only school that Lexington Catholic has lost to. When I say that Dunbar is their kryptonite, I mean it. They seem to not be able to stand up to this Dunbar team. By the way, it's Angelo Carriero on the Angelo Carriero Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5 FM, streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com. You can give me a follow at Angelo Media Lex. You can give the station a follow at ESPN Radio Lex or on Facebook, ESPN Radio Lexington. And don't forget, by the way, you're only going to hear my voice for just a little bit longer because starting at noon, we're going to have the NCAA tournament running all day long, which, I mean, I can't wait for. It's always fun to work at a sports radio station because when you tell your boss that, hey, I can't come in, I'm sick, they understand that I am watching the tournament and they have no problem with it. So it's good to be a part of a place like that today and tomorrow. But speaking of the reason that Lexington Catholic just can't seem to have a grasp on Dunbar, it's pretty easy. There's one guy that really makes it difficult for them, and it's the 43rd District Tournament MVP, Tim Hall, for Dunbar. And if you all haven't heard of Tim Hall or got to see Tim Hall, well, maybe it's time. Because this kid is 6'6", 6'7", absolutely unparalleled when it comes to athleticism in this county. He's almost a little too long for his youth. He's only a junior. But when I say that he's getting it together, this is a guy that already had it together. If he would have never changed his game from the first time we saw them, which, by the way, we already said that Lexington Catholic won lost to Dunbar twice. They could have lost three times because we had the first game between Dunbar and Lexington Catholic this year, and Dunbar led throughout the majority of the game, and they kind of blew it at the end, or else Dunbar would be 3-0 against Catholic this year. They're currently 2-1. But a big reason for that is Tim Hall, a guy that had 17 points and 11 rebounds at halftime and ended the game with 25 points, 16 rebounds, 3 steals, and 2 blocks. This kid is just pretty much an absolute nightmare for any of the teams that go up against him, but especially Catholic, that doesn't really have anybody to kind of throw at him. And what made him so terrifying in that game, and what can make Dunbar a legitimate Region 11 favorite, is that there's a stat that I like to throw out there to kind of illustrate who Tim Hall was. I remember the first game that we did. I like to be a little hyperbolic on varsity game night. I like to give people an idea of who you're looking at in the terms of comparisons to maybe other great players that, you know, when I said Tim Hall was Zion Williamson, I'm not saying that the kid is the best athlete that came out of college since or high school since LeBron James. That's not what I meant. But I mean, you know, he's awesome around the rim and he can finish. He hadn't made a three all year. And wouldn't you know it, that his first four shots were two-point jumpers. And he made all four of his first four, two-point jumpers, and he made a three-pointer in that game. Tim Hall is arguably the best player in the region. Now, he was voted third. Ben Johnson, the Mr. Basketball favorite, he's the number one player in the region. Deshaun Jackson of Frederick Douglass and the District 42 champions, he was voted number two. And then Tim Hall, which, by the way, both of those young men are seniors, yet Tim Hall, a junior, was number three. But that kid played like the number one player in the region on Friday night. And that's why he was named the 43rd District Tournament MVP. And that is why Dunbar is going to host a home game before EKU welcomes in the rest of the participants to the Region 11 tournament. And here's how it's going to break down. Frederick Douglass is going to play Madison Southern at Frederick Douglass as the runner-up of District 44 faces the winner of District 42. Paul Lawrence Dunbar is going to welcome in Frankfort. Franklin County is going to host Henry Clay, and Madison Central is going to host Lexington Catholic. And look, I'm going to get to the NCAA tournament here in just a minute. But I will say, I didn't do a bracket this year. I'll talk more about that when we get into the NCAA tournament. But I will do a little bracket here and give you who I think is going to make it. Now, this is not who I like, who are my favorite players. I don't do that when it comes to the high school scene because I want all these kids to succeed equally, all these coaches to succeed equally, yada, 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 all that. So this is my bracket for the 11th region. I'm going to pick Frederick Douglass to defeat Madison Southern, and I'm going to pick Dunbar to defeat Frankfort. Henry Clay gets the upset on the road against Franklin County, and Lexington Catholic, I think, is going to obliterate Madison Central. I think they're going to blow them out of the water. Which, I know, for coincidence, makes an all-Lexington EKU trip. It's just pretty much going to be the 859 going a little south. Frederick Douglass versus Dunbar, Henry Clay versus Lexington Catholic as we open Eastern Kentucky University play. I think Lexington Catholic would defeat Henry Clay. And I think Frederick Douglass would beat Dunbar, which would set up Frederick Douglass versus Lexington Catholic in the 11th region finals. And as much as I think Lexington Catholic is destined to win Region 11 and capture the state tournament, to win the boys' Sweet 16, there's something about Frederick Douglass this year that I'm not betting against. I have Frederick Douglass winning the Region 11. The 11th region champions and my predictions, not saying for any reason why, because I think Catholic and I think Dunbar and I think Douglass are all kind of jockeying for that position with the Henry Clay a little off of those teams. I think all those teams are jockeying for Region 11 supremacy, and I think they can achieve it. There's something about Frederick Douglass this year that I can't quite put my finger on, but their youth, or their mix of youth, their mix of veteran experience, their size and their different capabilities, they are the team that I would go with. So that's my pick there, and I just want to talk about the rest of the District 43 all-tournament team before I move on to talk about the NCAA tournament, which, like I said, you're going to be able to find here on ESPN Radio Lexington here on WLXG.com. You're going to be able to hear it on 1300 AM and 92.5 FM. You're going to be able to hear all the NCAA tournament action throughout the entire tournament, but that includes today from noon to noon coverage, or in noon to midnight coverage, and you're going to be able to hear on Monday. And again, WLXG.com, it's really good because you can turn your phone off while you're listening and it'll still play. District 43 all-tournament team. RJ Smith and Torrey Turner both made the team, and I want to tell you something. Those two young men, they were on teams that lost in their first game. For Tate's Creek against Lexington Christian, for Lafayette against Dunbar. But the things that I'm so proud of those two young men and why I'm glad they made the team, there's nothing that exemplifies not wanting to go home as a senior, being the underdog and playing for your absolute, just the rest of your, I mean, this is the last high school game those two young men are ever going to play. And they stepped out on the court like they knew it. And they stepped out on the court like they didn't want to go home. And being able to see that from two kids locally is just, it's everything that high school sports is about, because those two guys likely will go on to play basketball of some sort at the next level. You know, probably not. They're not going to go to Duke, most likely, but they'll have a spot somewhere. Yet they didn't want to take off the jerseys that they had on. And RJ Smith and Torrey Turner, they're just hard players. They just play hard. They work hard. They're physical. Everything you like about high school basketball, they are. Daniel Kinley made the team, a kid that, I mean, he's the total package. I think if a college can ever unlock like what's in his repertoire, he's going to be a real player at the next level. The number four voted player in Region 11, Tanner Walton, made the team, as did sophomore Tyler Hall, the youngest player, along with Nick Spaulding, to make the team. He's going to be really good for a long time. That LCA team has got some talent. Jack Goman, Hudson Sparks, both made the District 43 all-tournament team. I don't see that I typed in Ben Johnson in there, but I think that is a given. Zach Carter, Max Van Dyke, Nick Spaulding, and then the MVP, Tim Hall. Just an idea of the powerhouse teams and the powerhouse players that are in this region. Zach Carter, Max Van Dyke, Nick Spaulding, Tim Hall, all of Dunbar, all do different things. All led them to the District 43 championship. Can't wait for Region 11 next week. Tuesday, we are going to have either the Frederick Douglass Broncos game or the Paul Lawrence Dunbar game. Be sure to wait and tune in to that. And then on Thursday, we are going to have the regional semifinals and then the 11th region championship game on delay on Saturday, because obviously we have the NCAA tournament next Saturday. But after that, you'll be able to hear the Region 11 championship game on this channel. So that's what the high school basketball scene is shaping up to be right now. When I get back, we are going to talk about the NCAA tournament, because there was a big upset last night in what I thought was the region of death. And I'll talk about that and all the other games over the first 2 days here on the Angelo Carriero Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5 FM, streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com.
You know how I like it when you loving on me. I don't wanna die for them to miss me. Yes, I see the things that they wishing on me. Hope I got some brothers that outlive me.
The latest sports news, scores, opinion, and commentary. If that's not enough, you should seek professional help.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and
92.5. Can we just talk about where we're going before we get lost?
This is Angelo Carriero on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5 FM, streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com. Don't forget the NCAA tournament on radio. If you want to hear it in Lexington, Kentucky, you can hear it right here on 1300 AM, 92.5 FM. And for those that have to work today or work tomorrow and want to listen to the NCAA tournament while you're at work, you can type in WLXG.com. That's WLXG.com. You click on Listen Live, you can close your phone, you can lay back in your cubicle. I don't know who actually still works in cubicles, to be honest, but if you do, you can lay back there and you can listen to it. Your boss will never know. I don't need to know either. Just be sure to tune in. WLXG.com, 1300 AM, 92.5 FM is the spot for the NCAA tournament in Lexington. I didn't do a bracket, but I'm going to go through the games because that's what I like to do, kind of review the games that we've done and kind of give my thoughts and opinions on some of these, and also a big upset last night that I told you I was going to tell you about here, a game that I actually watched the entirety of the second half of. I was pretty surprised with the outcome. But first, let's start Illinois, I was thinking of Clyde Drexler, which I, honestly, Drexel just should change their university to that. To be honest, Clyde Drexler was amazing. Illinois, number one seed, won, no surprise. Baylor beat Hartford, number one seed, no surprise. I think a lot of people is, I would venture to say that Baylor was probably the number one pick champion team out of every bracket, just because I don't think people trust Gonzaga. Houston defeated Cleveland State. Oral Roberts with the upset over Ohio State. All right, you can give me a call. 381-1313. That's 381-1313. How happy were you that Oral Roberts upset Ohio State? Because I'm pretty sure it fueled most people. With Duke out of the tournament, we're happy. I think the next thing Kentucky fans want to see is Kansas getting knocked off. But I got to say, Ohio State getting beat in the first round to a 15 seed has to be pretty satisfying. Especially because, I'm not going to lie, I love watching Big Ten basketball, but I don't believe in any of them. I love watching Big Ten basketball. I think a lot of people that think it's slow and stuck in the past, well, you know what? I like that it's stuck in the past. I like watching 2004 half-court offense. I truly do. Because everybody did something different. It wasn't so much of a, all right, three-point shot, rebound, three-point shot, rebound, three-point shot, good, block, steal, three-point shot, you know, all that stuff. That gets boring after a while. I mean, I love the NBA, but I get bored with it sometimes. Because you watch a game, and it's just like if I want to throw on a random Sacramento-Charlotte Hornets game, and I'm watching and I'm like, oh, I can't wait to watch De'Aaron Fox. I can't wait to watch LaMelo Ball. I can't wait to watch Buddy Hield. Like, and I start watching, it's just three brick rebound, three brick rebound, three brick rebound. It's like, all right, man. Like, can y'all do anything different than every team in the league? So I'd really do like watching Big Ten basketball. But I'm glad to see Ohio State lose, like everybody else. Arkansas defeated Colgate. No surprise. Oklahoma State defeated Liberty, by the way. On varsity game night, if you listen to the high school basketball program here in Lexington, Kentucky on WLXG.com on 1300 AM on 92.5 FM, you would know the name Kyle Rode from his time at LCA and how much we talked about him and how good that Kyle Rode is. He was guarding at times in that game Friday, Cade Cunningham, who is the future number one overall pick.
And I love the NBA, and I love local basketball. So you could not imagine my delight in seeing a former Lexington, Kentucky, bred, born, tried and true prospect like Kyle Rode from LCA guarding the almost certain number one overall pick of the NBA draft in Cade Cunningham. It was awesome to see, but it was not awesome to see that Liberty lost Oklahoma State, nor was it awesome to see West Virginia defeat Morehead State, because Morehead State was in that game for a while. And that game was my favorite game of the weekend. I love to see just the Appalachian Mountain, the Appalachian Mountain range fight each other in West Virginia and Morehead State. I really did enjoy that pairing. I'm really glad that they did it, but Morehead State did end up proving to be not enough for West Virginia. Syracuse defeated San Diego State. I don't think there's any surprise in that. Syracuse, whenever they enter the tournament, they are something else. Loyola Chicago defeated Georgia Tech. So Sister Jean and the crew move on, or is that Loyola Marymount? Either way, I'm tired of the Sister Jean story. I'm not going to lie, I'm tired of it. Just me. 381-1313 if you disagree. And I understand if you do. I'm tired of it. Villanova defeated Winthrop. I'm always weary of Villanova. They scare me. They're a very good team. North Texas defeated Purdue in overtime. That one surprised me. I didn't see that one coming. I don't know how many people did, but if I would have made a bracket, I would have definitely had Purdue over North Texas. Wouldn't have thought twice. Texas State defeated Utah State. Florida over Virginia Tech. Meh. Didn't like that. I love to see Florida get beat. Just like we love seeing Oregon State defeat Tennessee 70-56. Wisconsin just beat the brakes off of North Carolina. And Rutgers defeated Clemson. Rutgers having one of their most successful basketball seasons in history. Alabama defeated Iona. I think Alabama's my favorite to win the NCAA championship this year. And that'll surprise a lot of people. The funniest thing in the world yesterday to me was that my papaw, I asked him, I looked him dead in his eyes. I said, "Hey, do you think Alabama has a chance to win it?" And he said, "You got to be kidding me." He said, "I don't think there's a chance in HE double hockey sticks that Alabama is going to win the NCAA tournament." Come to find out, he wanted me to look at his bracket. I looked at his bracket. He had Alabama in the final, losing to Baylor. I could not believe that. The audacity of him to tell me Alabama doesn't have a chance, and then to have Alabama in his national title game. That was bewildering to me. Luka Garza and Iowa defeated Grand Canyon. Kansas beats Eastern Washington. Florida State beats UNC Greensboro. My grandparents, also big Virginia fans. Their brother lives, and I guess that would make my great uncle, lives in Virginia. Virginia scholar. This is an upset a lot of people picked because of the Preston kid, but Ohio does win. Ohio just was able to make timely shots when Virginia couldn't. It was a pretty even game, to be honest. Creighton defeats UC Santa Barbara. Colorado defeats Georgetown. LSU, St. Bonaventure, Michigan, another team that I think could win it. They're going to be, if it's not Alabama, I do think it's going to be Michigan. That Elite Eight game when they meet up is going to be huge. USC defeated Drake. I was really weary of Evan Mobley as an NBA prospect, a kid that a lot of people have been talking about. His brother Isaiah Mobley went perfect from the field. I was impressed with Evan Mobley, and I think USC can make some noise in the tournament. I've watched them a couple times this year, and they are a very solid team led by the Pac-12 Coach of the Year, Andy Enfield, I believe it was Dunk University over in Florida Gulf Coast. Maryland beat UConn. Oklahoma beat Missouri. I thought that game would be good, and it was. Gonzaga beat Norfolk State. UCLA continuing their tour of underappreciatedness with Mick Cronin and Johnny Juzang. 73-62 BYU. Oregon moved on against VCU due to a no contest. It was the first and only game so far of the tournament that was canceled due to COVID. VCU was the COVID team, and no fault to their own, but Oregon moves on. And then the upset of the night, to me, I thought Texas from what I've seen. And, some people have correctly predicted them to be paper Tigers. I didn't see it. I thought with Greg Brown, which I didn't see too much of him last night. But with that team, I just kind of figured that Texas was poised to make a run. And I thought that was the strongest bracket or the strongest side of the entire tournament, with Florida State, Alabama, Michigan, and Texas. But Abilene Christian, another school from Texas, defeats the Hook'em Horns. And there was one kid that I swear for the first 5 minutes after the buzzer sounded had the Hook'em Horns down because he was so excited that they defeated Texas. Abilene Christian won 53-52, caused Texas to commit a season-high 22 turnovers. Abilene Christian had the number one turnover margin at 5.1 turnovers plus per game this year, and it proves to help them as they needed every last drop of that defense to defeat Texas. So we got the round of 32 today. Very excited, as everybody else is, for the NCAA tournament. You can hear it right here on ESPN Sports Radio, 1300 AM, 92.5 FM, streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com here. You can give me a call at 381-1313. That's 381-1313. As coming up next, I'm going to talk about the University of Kentucky basketball departures. And there was a report that was floated out over the weekend with some interesting details.
Spicy hot blend of sports talk and play-by-play. Yow. Careful, it's hot.
ESPN Sports Radio 1392.5.
This is the Angelo Carriero Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1392.5 FM, streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com. I've wanted to get into so much more today than I am able to. I wanted to talk about NFL free agency. I wanted to talk about the UK football team. They just started spring practice and have a lot going on. I'm going to have to put, unfortunately, I'm going to have to push football back a week. So next week, I'll be able to talk about football. I'm going to talk about the Region 11 championship. I've got a lot more down the road. But today's very basketball heavy because there are a couple, because of course the District 43 tournament and also District 42, of course. There's the NCAA tournament. And then UK basketball, there are a couple of departures. But I think the most interesting thing to come out of it is a report by Travis Graff of the Cat's Paws, Kentucky Rivals .com, and it's a report that I can confirm that his report is true. So I'm going to read you the report, and I'm going to tell you what I know about the situation. I did not report on it due to source information and whatnot. But he released it, and I'll be able to confirm. So let me tell you what his report said. From everything I've heard from... This is from Travis Graff of Cat's Paws, by the way. Let me see. I want to make sure that he's officially with Cat's Paws. Because that's what I mean, he works with Justin Rowland over at the Rivals site. But I don't want to misquote him. Scouting analyst for Made Hoops and Cat's Illustrated and Cardinal Sports on Rivals. So, yes. This is Travis Graff. From everything I've heard from conversations with multiple people around the Kentucky program, Terrence Clark's departure was welcomed. Everyone said that he wasn't the best to deal with behind the scenes, to put it nicely. I was told that he and a couple others absolutely obliterated the locker room, in quotes, this season. Clark also burnt bridges with a lot of scouts and people in the professional ranks. There were people with pro connections who said it would be smarter for him to transfer than go to the NBA, which, by the way, Terrence Clark did declare for the NBA draft and foregoed his future eligibility. The writing was on a wall a few weeks ago when I texted someone around the program asking if they'd be interested in a player who was transferring from another school, and they said that they were tired of dealing with a kid who had the same issues, alluding to Terrence. Some of the people were absolutely floored that he got any run in the SEC tournament. Travis Graff said that he believed the situation would have been a little better if they had Kenny Payne, a guy who would put a stop to the back-talking and put kids in their place, and that's in a positive way. You just had no strong personality you just had no strong personality upperclassmen to deal with the BS, and it showed. By the way, that is a report that I can confirm, because I heard that Terrence Clark and Cameron Fletcher were also apparently big detriments inside of the basketball program with the team, something that Cal was not equipped for, because they were recruited by Kenny Payne, and they were Kenny Payne's guys, guys that Kenny Payne was supposed to deal with and kind of keep them on the straight and narrow, guys that Cal wasn't really prepared for, or Barbie or Justice or Bruiser or any of those guys. And that is the word, that when Kenny Payne left, it left these two kids on the team with no personality to kind of push back against what they were, I guess, bringing to the table. And that did cause problems behind the scenes, and that their departures were not, or at least Clark, there is no official, at least from my understanding. Wait, did Cameron? Hold on a second. Yes, Cameron Fletcher did enter the transfer portal. That's right. I thought I did see something like that. That was on the 13th that became official. So it's no surprise, too, that Cameron Fletcher and Terrence Clark, both of the players that I heard direct names of that were issues in the program, are both gone now. One transferred, one going to the NBA. And you know what? Things happen. It's not everybody's going to be a perfect fit. This was going to be a bad season. It was COVID season. I've thought of it as a wash. I mean, even because of COVID, I just didn't even care to fill out a bracket. I mean, it's just, it is what it is. If there was a season, it's not like this was the Anthony Davis title team and those, you know, problems reared their ugly head and kept them from winning a championship. This was not a championship team. It was never going to be a championship team. And their kind of submarining of the team behind the scenes from, it seems like, all reports. I mean, there was a reason Cal didn't play him. I'll go ahead and tell you right now that that Terrence Clark injury, he very well could have been injured. I heard it was a suspension. I heard that the Terrence Clark situation was a suspension. I'm not saying that it was officially, because I'm not Coach Cal. I'm not the team. But I did hear that it was not all an injury, and the reason why that Terrence Clark sat out for so long. So take that for what it is. Take it for what you will. Give me a call at 381-1313, 381-1313. Give me a follow at Angelo Media Lex. Follow the station at ESPN Radio Lex, ESPN Radio Lexington on Facebook. But yeah, that's the situation on Cameron Fletcher and Terrence Clark. BJ Boston declared for the NBA draft, as did Isaiah Jackson, as did Terrence Clark. Terrence Clark and BJ Boston both foregoed their future eligibility, while kind of surprisingly, Isaiah Jackson did not. And for a guy that probably has the best chance to become a longtime pro or be drafted the highest even out of those kids, he's the one that left the door open to come back. So I'm really interested to see what happens there. Either way, the Kentucky basketball program moving on from Cameron Fletcher, moving on from Terrence Clark, and unfortunately it seems like they're moving on from Boston and Jackson as well. The new crop is coming in, greener pastures, and when I talk about the NCAA tournament next weekend, and like I said, you can hear the NCAA tournament in full coverage on ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5 FM, and WXG.com 1300 AM, all right here, today, tomorrow, and throughout the rest of the tournament. Maybe we'll see the Cats in the tournament next year with a team that I think could be in competition for a national title. But up next, to close the show, WWE Fastlane, the last pay-per-view before WrestleMania, and their first on Peacock streaming, is tonight. And I'll give a breakdown in my predictions of the card right around the corner on ESPN's, on the Angelo Carriero Show. On ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5 FM, streaming live all around the world. at WLXG.com.
I got broads in Atlanta, just a Dolly in the family. Credit cards in the scammers, hitting the licks in the family. Legacies, family, way and see, look like a panda.
This is the Angelo Carriero Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1392.5 FM, streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com. You can give me a call at 381-1313, 381-1313. I only have a couple of minutes left, and with those last couple of minutes, I'm going to break down, or at least give my match predictions on WWE Fastlane tonight, as it will be the first pay-per-view streaming on Peacock, which, by the way, not very happy that WWE went and got rid of their WWE Network. I was a big fan of the WWE Network. I thought it was a great place to have, and now they're just moving it to Peacock, but it isn't going to be the same. You know, things happen. Business, $1 billion for 5 years. Vince McMahon, a much richer man after this. But here are the matches on the card. Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler versus Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair for the tag team women's championships. I'm going to take Nia Jax and Shayna in this one. I heard a couple of people predict Sasha and Bianca and kind of build up their story, maybe make them wrestle both nights of WrestleMania. I think Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler have pretty much carried the Raw on the women's side and have been tag team championships so essentially the entire year from what I can think of. I just think that they're going to carry the titles to WrestleMania. I think they win. Big E versus Apollo Crews. I thought they have a good thing going here between the two of them. I think Apollo wins. I don't think they decked Apollo Crews out to be the champion or to be the character he is without giving him the championship. I do think that Big E is going to win it back at WrestleMania, but I think Apollo is going to walk down the ramp at WrestleMania holding the Intercontinental title. Drew McIntyre versus Sheamus in a no-holds-barred match. Drew McIntyre wins this one. There's no way that, unless you're going to set up some bigger match at Mania and add more people, they've already announced Drew McIntyre and Bobby Lashley at WrestleMania. It's gotta be Drew McIntyre in this match. Alexa Bliss versus Randy Orton in an intergender match, which is, I mean, it's hilarious to me because Randy Orton's just so vile and Alexa Bliss has been up his crawl for the longest time. I think it would be hilarious, but obviously this is where The Fiend is going to return and set up The Fiend versus Randy Orton at WrestleMania. And my deepest hopes is that The Fiend and Bray Wyatt gets his revenge against Randy Orton for what transpired at WrestleMania 33, where Bray Wyatt lost his championship to Randy Orton. I think that's going to be the setup there. Shinsuke Nakamura versus Seth Rollins. This is Seth Rollins' first single match at a pay-per-view, I think before even Survivor Series, which was back in November. So I think this would be his first singles match. I don't even know if he did one at Hell in a Cell. I think it had to be before that. I don't think there's any way Seth Rollins can lose his first singles match for how important he is. There's got to be some chicanery that's going to go on. I'm going to take Seth Rollins in that match. Riddle versus Mustafa Ali, the leader of Retribution. This one's kind of up in the air, but I don't think they put the title on Matt Riddle, or I guess he's just Riddle now. They didn't put the title on Riddle for him to lose, and I think that he is going to retain even through WrestleMania. I think he's a big star for the company. I think he is the right man to hold the U.S. title at this point. I think he wins this match. And that leads to the championship match, Roman Reigns versus Daniel Bryan for the Universal Championship with Edge as the special guest enforcer after he defeated Jey Uso in the main event of SmackDown. Here's my prediction. I think Edge screws Daniel Bryan. A lot of people think that Jey Uso was in that to get Roman's back, Edge's to get Daniel Bryan's back. The story's been told. Edge does not like Daniel Bryan. Edge does not like that Daniel Bryan is coming for that main event spot. Edge wants Roman Reigns, and he thinks Daniel Bryan's kind of like an annoyance in his way. Edge will be the special guest enforcer. He will screw Daniel Bryan tonight. And Roman Reigns will defeat Daniel Bryan.
And my prediction is that at WrestleMania, it is going to be a triple threat match for the WWE's Universal Championship between Roman Reigns, Edge, and Daniel Bryan because of Edge screwing Daniel Bryan. That's my predictions. That's the WWE Fastlane card, and unfortunately, that is all of my time this morning. I hope that you enjoyed the show as much as I did. I can't wait to be back next week and talk to you all about the NCAA tournament, about the Region 11, and I'm going to talk about football. I'm talking about NFL free agency and the UK football team next week. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Angelo Carriero Show, and make sure that you can go to WLXG.com today afterwards, and you can get the podcast or the saved show in case you didn't get to catch all of it. Be sure to tell your friends and give me a follow at Angelo Media Lex. Angelo Carriero Show, ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5 FM, streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com.
Me no conversate with the fake. That part. All my women's independent. We.